Well, good morning, everybody. Y'all remember back in 2021 when I gave a sermon series on the seven deadly sins and their corresponding lively virtues? Of course you do. And I've been a priest now 10 years and I've only done that one sermon series. And then the Holy Spirit kind of put on my heart that maybe I should do another one, because ever since that time, everybody said, "Father, would you please do another sermon series?" And they haven't actually said that, but I'm really excited about this one, because during Lent, it's just a very providential time to do one on the five precepts of the church. And they're outlined here in this beautiful catechism of the Catholic Church. And listen to this in 2041. The precepts of the church have to do with the moral life, and they are bound to and nourished by the liturgical life, the public worship life. They are meant to guarantee to the faithful the very necessary minimum in the spirit of prayer and moral effort, in the growth and love of God and neighbor. So sort of saying, like, this is like the bare minimum. Of course, we all want to do better than the bare minimum, but it helps to know what is the bare minimum. And then there's the five precepts. Now, that's not bad, because in the Old Testament, there were 613 precepts. So we're kind of blessed, you know, to live in New Testament times where there's only five of these precepts that sort of summarize it all. So anyways, the first one that I want to talk about really fits with our first reading beautifully, and that is providing for the needs of the church. That is one of the precepts, to provide for the needs of the church. And I was sort of like reflecting on this first reading, this whole thing, theme of like first fruits, and in terms of like how we support the needs of the church. And I think there are three ways we give our first fruits in prayer, our first fruits in physically helping, and our first fruits financially. So allow me, if you would, just to say a word about each. Prayerfully. Is prayer your last resort or your first go-to? Like, I find it even in my own life, even as a priest, sometimes I have my plans, I have my schemes. Well, schemes sounds kind of devious. Now, I have my, like, ideas of, like, what I want and how I'm going to go about it, and I trust in my own thinking more than, it's like, I need to start with God. Prayer should not be the thing that I go to when nothing else works. Prayer is the first thing we go to. God is the first one we go to, not our last resort. I was reading this beautiful piece, and it was talking about how no grace enters a life without prayer. So that means that if you get a grace in your life, either you prayed for it or somebody else prayed for it for you. And this is, it's just crazy to like think about how the economy of prayer works with our beautiful Lord. But every prayer counts. We have no idea how many souls are in heaven because of a Hail Mary. Like, we really don't know. Like, the power of prayer, the scripture says prayer can move a mountain, and it sure can. And so prayer, we provide for the needs of the church by prayer, making that our first resort, praying for our church, for our parish, for our diocese, for our pope, for our bishop. We have the important duty to pray for vocations to the priesthood and the religious life. And that is something for everyone, regardless of age or state in life, that we must pray for priestly and religious vocations in a special way, knowing that the church needs them. The church needs them. And I always tell at vocation talks that I give as the vocation director around the diocese, I always tell people, please pray three Hail Marys every day for priestly and religious vocations. And so that's of course, we need to pray also for holy families. We can't take those for granted at all, especially these days. So we pray for the needs of the church. Number two, we physically provide for the needs of the church, which means if we need a shift at the, there's an empty shift at the elephant ear booth, then see a need, fill a need. I love that phrase. See a need, fill a need. You know, with the festival signups, we'll be here before long, and it's like pulling teeth to get folks to sign up for stuff. And see a need, fill a need. Helping the church isn't what I do if I have enough time left over. It's the first fruits. And there's a need for an hour in the chapel. I could do that. See a need, fill a need. There's a need for a shift at the thrift store, the St. Vincent de Paul Society. See a need, fill a need. And that is, we need a catechism. See a need, fill a need. There's a job for everybody. And I just feel like that's the thing. I read this thing years ago. It talked about ant farms. Did you know that in your average ant farm, only 40% of the ants make the houses and all of the things? And the other 60% just kind of slouch around. And that's even a better statistic than the church. It's about 7% of Catholics that pretty much do everything in our parishes around the country and the world. And so we just like see a need, fill a need. We physically provide for the needs of the church. And we make it a priority. Not if I have time left over, do I do this? Make it a priority. Sunday Mass, priority. The third thing that we do to provide for the needs of the church is financially. And listen to this first reading. This is just like so beautiful. It talks about Moses is telling the people, this is how it's going to work. This is what God wants. There's going to be a priest. And the priest, he says, is going to stand in front of the altar with a basket. You're going to bring all the gifts forward to the priest in front of the altar. And you will say to the Lord that I was a wandering, my ancestors were wandering Arameans. They were in slavery. They were maltreated. They were oppressed. They suffered affliction, toil, and oppression. They had a hard go, but the Lord delivered us, and everything we have is from Him. And then you'll put your gift in the basket that the priest is holding. And it's not the leftovers. He says, the first fruits of the products of the soil. Do you remember Cain and Abel? And do you remember how God looked with favor on Abel's sacrifice? Because Abel gave God the first fruits, the best stuff. Cain gave God the leftovers. And God didn't like that too much. The Bible talks about the tithe, which is a word that means 10%. That is our obligation, but also our joy to realize that, like this is saying, everything is from God that I have. And what He asks for in back is the first 10%. The first 10% He asks back. And it's a way of honoring Him. It's good for our spiritual lives. We give God of whatever income we have. The first 10% goes back to God, and then we live in the other 90%, which isn't a bad deal because everything we have is from Him. And so it's really not a bad deal at all. And then the scripture says, having set before the Lord your God your gifts, you shall bow down in His presence in worship and gratitude, that we have the joy of having given. And the joy of money is like my least favorite thing to talk about, partly because I live by the thing in Matthew chapter 6, which says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything will take care of itself. And I sort of find that to be true, and I do find that to be true. It's a promise from the lips of Jesus. I don't like talking about money because I care about the things of heaven. But here's the thing, is that money actually has to do with the things, because we have to take care of the church. The church is not just a set of buildings and an institution. It is the living, breathing Jesus. And so the church in this world, as it is made, the church needs our support. And I just want to thank you, because this is such a generous parish. Like, we are doing so well, and it is all thanks to you and your generosity. We can never outgive God. Try as we might, we can never outgive God, who on this altar is going to give us His body, blood, soul, and divinity in just a few minutes. We can never outgive Him. but we maybe should try. And we should just live lives of sheer generosity, knowing that when we're generous is when we're also the happiest and healthiest spiritually. I just want to say, many of you went last week to the update, the presentation downstairs after the masses, and really we're doing the short and the long of the short of it, I should say, is that of the modified plan, the master plan, which has a price tag of $10 million, which is really big, but we have 9 of it pledged, and that's phenomenal. That is like huge, and praise to the Lord. Like, that's a big deal and something we should be very, very proud of and thankful for. But here's the piece, is that the plan has a $10 million price tag and we have $9 million pledged, and therefore we have 1/10 to go. And the architects and all these people think that if we can get that last tenth pledged in like the next 45 days or so, that we can get going in the month of May and hopefully be done with the whole thing by the end of the calendar year, which would be amazing. And it would be like, it would be so beautiful. And so I'm just here to do the thing that I hate doing, and that is to beg you. Because, like, if one way to think about it is that if everybody could just, if you're able, the Catechism says we support the needs of the church as we are able. Not with our leftover, but as we're able. And if you are able to increase your pledge by 10% or more, you could please use the cards in the pews. And just check that box, put your name in there. We'll call you, we'll confirm everything, but just check that box. If maybe you haven't had a chance to pledge and you haven't done that yet, we need your help. We need everybody to take part in this beautiful endeavor, and to be a part of this. It's going to be a really beautiful thing. If you don't know the details of it, you can go onto our Facebook page and you can see the presentation from last weekend after the 10 o'clock Mass, and you can learn more. But I think most of us are pretty much aware of where we are. And so just, I want to thank you for your generosity, and I want to beg you, if you are able to do that 10% increase, I'm going to increase mine by 10%, my pledge. And if you are able, I would love it if you would too. And if you haven't done one yet, to please do that. As I said, we can never outgive God. He is so good. And when we look at the saints, they live lives of radical, radical self-gift. And that's why they were so holy and so happy and so healthy. And so we just pray the grace to do the same. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.